So this is Courtney Renshaw, and say your name.
Lisa Ross.
Doing our practice interview for our sociology 111-5W1 class. Today's date is March 28th, 2021, and it is 12 p.m. Okay, we're going to try to get into the swing of asking some of these questions. I have them pulled up, but I have to shrink them on my thing because I have this in like a split screen.
Yeah, I have it here too.
Okay, what are you proudest of in your life?
What, wait, I'm sorry, what was that?
What are you proudest of in your life?
The accomplishments I've been through as a mom.
Being a mom takes a lot of work. I never had kids of my own, but I do help out raising kids during the week. And
Yeah.
the youngest one I have is 2 months old.
Oh. Oh.
So, like, I didn't even birth them. But, like, imagine, I can't even imagine how much harder it is to be a mom when birthing them.
Yeah, it's definitely was a challenge for me because I didn't have any siblings.
Yeah.
So I didn't have like help or anything like that. I was always with people my age. So I never experienced like, this little infant child and, to see how attached she is now, and it definitely brightens up your day.
What do you feel most grateful for in your life?
My family, my definitely my family, where I am, my husband, my daughter, my parents being as old as they are, they're in their 70s, still kicking, so
How has your life been different than what you had imagined?
my life has been different because growing up, I was always taught to follow the rule of society. You graduate high school when you're 18 and you go to college right afterwards, and then you get a job, and then you find someone to marry, and then you buy a house, and then you have kids. Like that role, like I feel like I'm accomplishing all that, but it wasn't that straight line.
Yeah.
It was definitely of a zigzag and a roundabout. Clearly, I'm 31 years old and I'm back at school.
I mean, I should have been able to get my degree this year because I actually started attending Dell Tech when I was 18 years old. However, I
Wow.
caught pneumonia really bad and I ended
Oh.
up in the hospital for 2 months and I broke my like ribs from like how badly my pneumonia was. And because of
Wow.
that, I stopped being able to attend school and then I lost my financial aid and then I didn't have money until like a year ago to go back to
Wow.
school because I lost my financial aid. So,
Wow.
but things.
How's everything going so far now? Like you're okay with it's all
So
caught up?
I have a lung deformity, half my lung. It's physically there, but it doesn't work. So it's as if I don't have that side of my lung at all. So because of that, it makes it really easy for me to catch illnesses. And
Oh.
bronchitis is one of those like illnesses that are airborne, they're easy to spread. And then if you have bronchitis long enough, if it's not treated, it turns into pneumonia. But since the pandemic, I haven't really gone out because if I catch COVID,
It's yeah,
I'll die.
respiratory thing, so that's yeah.
It will keep like the pandemic has kept me from catching all the other illnesses I would have normally caught because I haven't been around people to catch them.
Oh wow. That's
So,
pretty. Wow. That's a lot to like really handle it, especially at your age too.
yeah. 2020 has been an awful year for me.
Oh.
Okay, how would you like to be remembered?
I funny that you brought that question is I've gotten asked that before just randomly, and I didn't know how to answer it. I still don't know how to answer it.
I've been asked it quite a few times since probably middle school, because
Yeah.
like they kind of ask you that to see where you want to go in life, because they expect like an eighth grader to know what they want to do with their life. So of course my answer has varied multiple times, but I think I would want to be remembered as a good person, someone that people were able to rely on, that was there for them when other people weren't.
Yeah, I was when I was thinking about that, like I definitely was thinking about all the same things you just said, but I didn't want to seem like generic. Like, because everyone wants to be remembered as a good person, and no one wants to be remembered as a bad person. So I think I was thinking too deep into the question.
Yeah. I mean, like, there's a difference, though, between wanting to be a good person and actually being it. So, a lot of people can wish that they're a good person. They just don't usually put the effort in to be one. I wake up every day and make conscious decisions on if this is a good thing or a bad thing. So, I hope that my decisions haven't wronged anyone or made anybody feel bad. Like, the last thing I ever want to do in my life is make people feel bad or inferior about themselves. So I try to make conscious decisions every day that will help better people, better society, better myself. So
You sound very wise. Like,
it's a trauma. I promise you, I've been through a lot of things in my lifetime. It's I grew up way too young. I'm not as wise as you think I am, though. I still make some really dumb decisions.
That's everyone. Trust me,
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure I've made more, like, way more dumb decisions than at 21.
no, I think it's just really important for people to, if they say they want to be remembered for this or they want to do this, I always believed it's important to follow through on the things you're saying you're going to do. So when I said when I was younger, I want to be a good person, I tried my hardest to follow through and do good things to try to be a good person.
That makes sense.
But also, I'm going to school to be like a counselor. So like I feel like counselors have to be good
It's like
people.
that route. Yeah, you're going that route anyway, so like, yeah. You're preparing yourself.
Do you have any regrets?
My only regret is probably not being smarter with my money when I was younger.
Me, I do that too.
Like, at 21, 20, 21, I was making really good money. Like, really good money, like six figure, probably close to six figures. And being young and single, and my girlfriends be party and patience nonstop. So it was, yeah, that's it.
I think
Like,
maybe one of my biggest regrets is holding on to things longer than I should have. For instance, I had a car. I had it for 4 years and it was fine. Like, it was a really good car. I had just put a new engine in it, so it was like a brand new car all over again. And back in November, I got into a life-threatening accident where I almost died, and I
Oh,
totaled
wow.
that car. But a couple months before that even happened, my dad was like, "Hey, look, I know you love your car, but you should sell it, get something better." And I didn't sell it. And if I did, I probably wouldn't have almost died in a car accident.
Wow. Yeah, that's kind of stuff you don't like think about. Like, you're like, what if I did this and that? And it's like, it's a lot of what ifs.
I feel
So
like
you.
that's what life really is. There's no, like, you can never be certain about what's happening, and you're never going to be sure about the ripple effect that's going to be caused by this the decision you make in that moment, which is why it's really scary. Like, you could have gone for a walk, and where you usually would have made a left, you made a right. If you would have made that left, you might have probably been shot. You don't know. You made that right and you got flowers instead. You don't know what decisions you're
I
going to
know,
make are going to impact your life.
like for me, like I am a firm believer of that, like of just living your life essentially, because I'm originally from Philly and I moved to Baltimore, Maryland, and somehow I found my husband there.
After my car
So,
accident, I found my boyfriend.
oh, yeah, now look at this. We're in Delaware. It's like,
He's actually from Philly too, actually, so
oh, yep, born and raised in Philly.
my whole family has been. I'm the only Delawarean of my kin.
My daughter was born in Maryland. Well, our daughter was born in Maryland, lived in Philly for 2 years, and now she's a Delawarean. She's gonna be from Delaware.
I'm gonna ask you one last question, and if you want to ask me some questions too, but I feel like we've had like a little discussion here, so
Yeah.
it's probably not needed. What has been the biggest way your life has changed because of the pandemic?
That's a really good question. I since the pandemic, I haven't been working as much. Actually, I haven't been working at all. And I became more of a stay-at-home mom and full-time student. So it definitely changed my perspective on how like I have to be towards my daughter. 'Cause if she was in school or if I was in work, it would be like I would see her in the morning when and then I drop off at school, and then it's like 24 hours of the day I only see her for 4 hours.
Yeah.
So now I really get to like really spend time with her and just support my household. Like my husband is supporting us financially and emotionally and everything, and then I'm doing the house. I get to do my part. I get to feel like I'm doing something. So it actually helped me emotionally, because I was always guilty about not being there for my daughter. Or
I feel like the pandemic has strengthened a lot of relationships between people in general. I'm closer with my friends now than I have ever been before. I've always been close with my family. And I mean, we actually just recently had a tragedy that kind of brought us closer too. So I feel like the pandemic really kind of helped secretly. It's like one of those blessings in disguise.
Yeah, I know some people it was almost like I don't want to call it a double-edged sword. It's like, even though you lost a job, like my situation, I lost a job financially, it was tough, but emotionally and everything else was like a blessing. Because I got to spend more time with my daughter and, even my husband, and I'm not always tired.
Yeah,
So.
that's the biggest perk. And on top of that, they made almost all the classes online besides the ones that are for like nursing, I guess.
Yeah, I'm a nurse. It's kind of tough. Like I have my anatomy class and we Zoom, but it's like it's still not the same. Like I learn
Hands on.
best, yes, when I actually like incorporate and like actively apply stuff.
I actually have really bad social anxiety, so the thought of going to classes, especially because I'm a drug and alcohol counselor major, and most of those classes are through the Wilmington campus, and I have anxiety going into Wilmington. So
Oh, I'm right down the
this is like a blessing
street.
for me, being able to do it online, because my high school is actually mainly online based, and because of that, I ended up being valedictorian of my high school. And I
Oh,
don't
wow,
think I would have been
congratulations.
able, like, I don't think I would have been able to get the good grades I have now if I was in a physical classroom. And I don't think I would have
Yeah.
gotten valedictorian back then if I was in a physical classroom.
Oh,
So
wow.
online personally works better for me until, group projects.
Yeah, it takes a yeah, it does. It takes a lot of like discipline.
Yeah, so.
It's a lot of discipline, which I've learned a lot throughout the years, like because especially online, it's like you can always keep on pushing it off. When you have to go to class, you're like, okay, I gotta be there at 11 o'clock, or I gotta be there at 12 o'clock. But when you're online, you're like, okay, I can do it.
So I feel like, and this is gonna sound really bad, and I know the teacher's gonna listen to this and be like, what the hell? But I operate best when people tell me I can't do something. Like in high school, I was told that I wouldn't be able to graduate with my class. I'd be like graduating like in 2019, 2020, because like I was bullied out of my previous school. And when I went over into a new school, I was starting over as a freshman when I should have been a sophomore.
Oh, wow.
And I kept being told, like, you're not going to be able to graduate. You might as well drop out now. Like, all these really bad things. So I kind of operated out of spite and I was like, oh, yeah, who can't do it? And I actually had
You
the
prove them
option to
wrong.
like graduate early. And like, I graduated valedictorian. I walked with my class. It's really cool the way it happened though, because I finished all my classes for high school in October of 2017. And then I graduated in
Wow.
2018. And I went from being like between October to like May, I didn't have to be in school physically because I had already finished my work. And then I
Wow.
got to walk
Yeah.
my class.
You definitely use that like that as your motivation to prove everyone wrong. Like just, and that's a good trait because some people would definitely let it defeat them.
I feel like I've been kicked down a lot in my lifetime to the point where I don't let anybody else kick me down. I kick myself down. Like if I set personal goals for myself, and if I fail those goals, I'll be very disappointed in myself, but nobody else can ever make me feel small again because they made me feel so small before, and I'm not gonna let them take away my potential future because they're insecure with themselves. So
Yeah,
the
I could
pandemic,
definitely see how you're
like,
gonna.
I'm sorry, go
Yeah, I could definitely see how you're gonna be like a great counselor because
ahead.
you know, you're speaking off of experience, and you know, who better to believe than someone who actually went through something traumatic? And you know, if you're just speaking on a topic and have no idea of how it feels or anything like that, you're just like speaking on a topic you don't really understand.
And I think that's something that's also extremely wonderful about the pandemic. Unfortunately, a lot of people are going through mental health problems, and there's a huge mental health crisis now. But because of that, we're getting more resources for mental health.
Yeah,
Like
that's a big thing for me.
I said, like I struggle with anxiety, and these online classes is a blessing for me.
I've learned because I started working in a casino, I actually have bad social anxiety and depression, and just so I've actually had to push myself. Like my husband was the main one to actually force me to, but like, you know, he made a good point. Like if you are fearful of something and you just look away, it's still there. You gotta push through it to eliminate it. So you can't let that fear essentially take over your life. You gotta like fight it. And then once you get that concept, which I'm still learning myself, like I can definitely get through life a little easier, especially with my anxiety. Like I'm so awkward when it comes to like a group of people.
Yeah, I am too. Whenever I'm with
I'm
a
very
group of
awkward.
people, like I seek for things that like physical like things that they have that will make me more comfortable. Like honestly, when I first saw your
Don't focus
face,
on
like I have no idea what you were gonna look like, what you were gonna be like, but I
look in
saw
the
you
mirror.
have tattoo and I was like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
And it made me more comfortable to talk to you because we have things
Yeah.
in common.
Yeah, it's really good to like have it like this connection, 'cause clearly I didn't know what you were going to look like, and all I knew was your name and didn't even know what you were going to sound like. You know, how old you were and stuff. So it's pretty interesting how we just kind of vibe right now. Like, so
And
that's pretty
like
cool.
I feel like the pandemic, despite the tragedy it has caused, it has made people feel better with themselves and it helps them identify things that they aren't as confident in so that they can build it up. I feel like a lot of people found themselves throughout this pandemic. And like yeah, I feel like it's helped a lot of people secretly.
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely I kind of knew I needed therapy a while ago, but I started last year during the pandemic, and it's been slowly but surely helping. And then, you know, even being on like anxiety medicines, medications and stuff like that, it's definitely helping.
Yeah, I just had my
I can
doctor
relate.
increase my medication dosage like a couple days ago.
Yeah, she mine was she started out really low because I'm almost afraid to take medications. So every month she's been upping my dosage.
One of the medications I'm on, I'm not gonna name the name of it, but I'm on the highest possible dosage of it, which is like really high.
Is it for anxiety
It's for
or
depression.
depression?
It's like the
Well,
highest possible level.
I don't mind telling you, I am on Prozac.
Oh.
So, that's nothing to be really ashamed of, because it's like something that you have to talk about now.
So
Because especially
my
when you come from my
reaction,
culture.
sorry.
No, good.
My reaction, so I actually have been on Prozac before. I know a lot of people who have been on Prozac, and in my experience and in the experience with a lot of people that I have talked to, let's say I know 10 people who have been on Prozac. At least 9 of those people, within the first 2 weeks of being on that medication, their depression will completely crash. And actually, it's one of the medications that has the higher suicide risks because of how badly it makes you crash. Out of every 10 people, at least 9 of them get worse on it. I've only met one or two people who have actually gotten better on it. So.
I've heard a lot, like I was like missing days where like I forget or I don't take it at the same time. And one of my friend's aunts, she's a licensed psychologist. So she was telling me like you gotta keep up with it because if it's so irregular, it could cause like suicidal thoughts and stuff like that.
It's one of those
But
ones you have to be very, very careful with. I
I
take my
know I
medication at the same time every day, and that's one of the medications that nearly destroyed me, and I've been on almost every single medication that they have for depression.
Yeah, I think it's in the beginning it was rough because I was so against it, but now like I'm on like a routine schedule now, so I've definitely seen a difference. Like, but like the I would say the first 2 months I was just really I was confused because they'll ask me how I'm feeling, and I'll tell them like I don't know, like I don't feel a difference, like and then now I can almost describe it as like a fog lifting. So I can definitely there's an improvement. I mean, I still have a long way to go, but
One of the medications I'm on, it's an antidepressant. I can't pronounce it correctly. It's called like Ruluxy or something like that. It's one of the ones that you have to get like pre-approved from the insurance to get it. Because
I know exactly what you're talking
yeah,
about.
it's like one of those like drugs that they're like, yeah, you can't have this unless you've tried like six of these other drugs.
Because it's strong.
It's been working pretty good for me. The other medication I'm on is actually an antipsychotic. There's a difference between antipsychotics, antidepressants, and anti-anxieties, and I'm actually on all three of them. I have a bipolar disorder.
Oh wow. How are you handling that?
I got diagnosed when I was 12 years old, so I've been fighting with it for a really long time. I feel like certain aspects of the pandemic made it worse. Sometimes when I'm trying to do schoolwork, like, because most you probably know with bipolar disorder, you have really, really high ups where you feel like you're God, you're feeling euphoric, you feel like you can do anything and nothing's gonna hurt you. And then you feel like the really, really low lows where you feel like you can't get out of bed, like all you want to do is lay in your bed and cry, and like it feels awful. So like
You don't become like manic or anything, do you?
I get manic so bad.
Oh wow.
Like I dime as you can tell, got going on here. And I paint and I am up at 3 o'clock in the morning vacuuming the house because it needs to be clean, and like I spend so much money when I'm manic. So like it's bad, but I get the really high highs and the really low lows. So like that itself has been more complicated to deal with during the pandemic, because before I was able to kind of find things outside of my house to distract me from like my mental health. But now that I'm inside, you kind of have to confront your demons head on, all at once, and it's really, really hard. And there's some days where you feel like this is the worst thing in the world. I'm never going to get through this.
Yeah.
But at the same time, being in the pandemic, I found more healthy coping mechanisms for the things that I was going through than what I had been doing before.
Wow. Wait, are you still recording? Oh, wow. How
Yeah.
long have you been recording?
Don't know, but at least we'll get a good grade. Hopefully.
We had a full-on discussion here.
And that's the tricky thing about interviews.
I
So that's how I typically do interviews with people, is like I'll ask them a question and then they'll give me an answer, and then I'll try to relate to their answer by saying something that I know, or try to like give some kind of like put an instance in, like, oh yeah, I heard about this, like, is that how it was for you? Like, that's how I typically do interviews, because I've done them before for high school.
Okay. I guess it's always good to like relate and be human and like,
Yeah.
yeah, instead of
I
a
feel like part
robot.
of my problem is that I just kind of constantly sound like I'm speaking in monotone. I
I can
don't
respect
mean to.
that.
What do you think?
I'm pretty new to this. Like, I've been out of school for 10 years, so I've the interview part, it's pretty interesting. Like, it makes me actually reflect. And I was looking at some of the questions and even like the topics. It's like I am very sentimental, like you said, with your car, like you just hold on to stuff. Like I'm
Until it's like done.
yeah, like I'm actually in a situation now where, you know, I bought a car that was brand new in 2013 and now it's, you know, 2021 and it's paid off. And I've always had this idea of like, oh, I'll keep it for my daughter because this is a Honda Accord, so it's like it'll run forever. I
Yeah.
always tell myself like, she'll get a new car. She won't want to drive an old beat up car. Like, so just get rid of it while it's still worth something.
See, like, I'm an idiot. When I totaled my car, I went out and bought the same exact car in a newer year. I had
Wow.
a 2007 Eclipse, and now I have a 2010.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it was funny because when my husband and I met, we both had the same exact car. But he has what, 2000, 2010 or 11, and mine's 2000. Same color, same car, everything. It's like coincidental. No.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to address about like how we talk about questions, anything like that? Is there any critiques you want to give to me so that we can better like learn from our interviewing experience?
I think for the most part we were able to get like a nice flow, except for me when I couldn't answer one of the questions, but but it was a nice like fluid, you know, conversation. It flowed into the next question and that was really smooth. It wasn't awkward.
Which is great because we just met like
Yeah.
an hour ago.
I know. It's pretty cool how we can relate a lot, like
I feel like a lot of people are able to kind of relate over mutual like trauma that they're going through. Like we both have anxiety, and that was kind of like, oh, hey, look,
Oh
we're both. It's like that Spider-Man meme where they're like pointing at
no.
each other, like.
That's you. Cool. But
But if there's anything else you'd like to say or not, then we can like wrap this up unless you have anything else you want to say.
No, I think we pretty much like covered what I expected. Like I said, we weren't just like a robot, like you ask me a question or I ask you a question and answer it next. Like it was more, you know, like a natural conversation, which, you know, that's the type of interview like I'm not nervous about because it makes you feel like you're under the pressure when you're like you're being interrogated.
Like when they ask you question after question after question, and they're not trying to like, I feel like it's very important to make a human connection with each person that I talk to. I feel like that's just me. That's me personally. I'm not saying that's how everyone
That's
is.
me too.
It's just I'm a very like empathetic person, and when I hear people's stories, I want them to know like they're not alone. Like, hey, yeah, I like went through something similar. So I think it's important to make that connection with another person so that they know, like, this is a safe space, we can talk, stuff like that.
Yeah, for
Because
sure.
I've been in therapy, and like I know how it feels to just talk to someone who doesn't understand.
Yeah, I think I'm at this point in my life where, like, for me, I can definitely build on to something from what you say, but I do have an issue of like recognizing first. So if you don't say it, I won't have an idea of how to follow through with it. So like how you mentioned, like the different medications, and I'm not embarrassed that I'm on Prozac, and I'll just, that's something that has to be definitely spoken about, like, because mental health is a big thing and it's always been like a taboo. It's like not a thing, especially coming
The
from.
only reason why I didn't state the one medication that I'm on is because there's a song named after it, and every single time I tell people I'm on it, they're like, oh, you're on that? Oh no, what's wrong with you?
I don't care. It's just, that's definitely like a lot of my papers actually for psychology and sociology, like I have been mentioning a lot about mental health, and this year has really opened my eyes about it. Like it's not really spoken about, and people think you're crazy because you're not thinking the way you. I'm coming. Because you're not thinking the way that they're thinking.
Yeah.
But
Well, hopefully after this year we have more medical advancements towards mental health and more of a conversation, because there's always been a negative connotation when you talk about mental health, like depression. But like we are so much better off than we were 50 years ago. Like you heard someone was in therapy and you're like, oh no. But like therapy is more normalized now. So just imagine how it's going to be in like a year or two.
I know. I wish like my parents grew up in a third world country and they basically survived the genocide. And to think like that was the generation right before mine, it's crazy. Like that's tough in itself. They got really bad PTSD and stuff like that, and they just 70 plus years old, they're done. Like they're like, mental health, what is that? So
Yeah.
now I gotta start it off. So it's like, good for me and my daughter and my husband, like.
Well, I feel like this was a really great conversation, and I feel like it might have been therapeutic for
Actually,
the
I was just thinking that, like, it's been very therapeutic just to talk.
yeah. So, we'll meet back up like on video chat to talk more about the project.
Okay.
And I'll let you log off because it seems like your daughter really wants your attention.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, have a great
You
day.
too. Keep me updated. So just, I'm up all times of the night. I'll respond anytime, whatever, you know.
Okay, sounds great.
All right. See ya. Oh,
See ya.
she's a bye.
Bye.
I take a shot first?
Okay.